City of Buried Ghosts by Chris Lloyd. Read by Laurence Bouvard for Saga Egmont. For my mum and dad, Avril and Mervyn Lloyd. He wanted to close the man's eyes. Only they don't slip shut like they do in the movies. A gentle glide of the hand over the eyelids and the light is out forever. The sightless, searching accusation gone. The face calm and at rest. Because the eyes don't close. Not easily. Not if you don't want to feel the shape of the eyeballs roll softly under your fingertips. Not if you can't bear to pinch the edge of the thin, fleshy lid between thumb and finger and coax it down and hope it stays. He gave up, but the eyes kept pulling him back. They stared up at him through the torrential downpour, oblivious now and forever to the heavy rain pounding at them. The sudden summer storm that beat at his own bare head, that drowned out any noise that he'd become used to. The angry clattering of the branches on the pine trees, the creatures slinking through the dead needles on the ground, the endless sweep of the sea hidden beyond the headland, brushing in and out along the small, sharp stones of the little beach. He felt like the rain was hammering him further and further into the shallow trench in the ground. He looked at the hole where he stood, the unbidden and surprising thought that it wasn't a trench he could use. He thought of turning the generator off to kill the light, but the fear of the dark that would envelop him was too great. Instead, he reached forward and angled the light away from the man's face. It shone down the small incline to another clearing below, further from the headland. He looked at the pool of light cast into the dark wood and turned back to look once more at the eyes of the man lying in the trench. He'd made his decision. Chapter 1. So why exactly are we here? Elizenda could hear Alex grunt at her question. The Masso, a uniformed caporal, signaled for her to go with him to the middle of the small boat.
Not because I don't want him hearing us, he explained,
gesturing at the gray-haired and grizzled man steering the craft,
but because we'll never hear ourselves speak over the engine.
Elizenda followed him to the thinly cushioned bench towards the front of the boat. The water was slapping against the sides, but these wide-bottomed yachts, once the workhorses of the coast, now fine and polished playthings, stayed calm in the choppiest of seas. The one they were in was firmly stuck in the workhorse breed, its captain a retired fisherman with a rock-hard gut straining at the buttons of an ancient nylon shirt. A smaller, clinker-built dinghy was tied to the stern and tugged in its wake like a reluctant child. Elizenda flicked an oily rag off the bench, but chose not to sit down anyway. Decades of grease and grime ingrained in the plastic-covered foam sheet. Instead, she leaned against the short mast supporting the long yard, the other end of which rested on the crutch near where the boat's owner stood. Even here, the noise of the diesel engine, hidden away in what would once have been one of the fish holds, was loud enough to make them have to raise their voices. Holding onto the yard for balance, Elizenda was surprised to see a sail furled up along it. Most yachts had long ago given up any pretense at being a sailing boat.
What do you do when you need a proper boat?
Alex asked grumpily, following them. The caporal shrugged. His name was Fabra, and he'd been stationed at the Mossos de Squadra police station in Palafrugell for 3 years, he told them. He had the tan and the physique of someone who lived and worked by the beach, Elizenda thought, even now in February.
The Salvamo Maritime boats, if it's anything urgent or more remote,
Fabra told Alex.
The dive team from Sabadell, if they've got to go underwater.
Sabadell,
Alex muttered. The dive team for the whole of Catalonia was based inland. Urgent, Elizenda murmured in an echo of Alex's tone. She glanced at her sergeant and raised an eyebrow.
In cases like this,
Fabra continued,
we get one of the local sailors to help.